greetings again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad for this privilege this weekend to just sit under the preaching of the Word hour after hour. It's been refreshing. Thank you to you brothers who have been preaching. It's been very rich. Thank you very much. I know that for quite a few, you might be tired and been here for a couple of days. Your bodies are weary and your tummies are full of food, and there's a tendency to feel like napping after you had food. And this is afternoon, and it's normally the time when preachers are the last pick, right? Last place where preachers like to preach after everyone's eaten and their tummies are full. Okay, there you go, brother. Okay, but everyone is going to stay awake here this afternoon, right? And for those of you who fall asleep, well, there's things that can happen here to make that you stay awake. Yeah, could we all rise and pray before we start? Our Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed our sins away. We thank you for the peace and the joy in our hearts. We thank you for giving us strength in the inner man to live a God-fearing life. We thank you, Lord, for family. We thank you for brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, for the burdens that you place upon each one of us, even here today. And God, we don't know what all you wanted to do in these meetings. We don't know that. But we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just please come. And even in this afternoon with the subject we have, would you please come and draw us to yourself with it all? We ask God that you would help us to somehow see the seriousness of some of these things and be able to find our way, because so many have lost their way. So help us. Lord, I ask that you'd give me clear thoughts and clear burdens. Help me to communicate what you've given in an effective way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title this afternoon is The Effect of Technology on the Family. If you could, open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to start reading in chapter 22. And the verses that I'd like to read, I'm going to say the subject, this whole subject of technology and how it's affecting the churches at large. I'm just going to say that it's a threat to the first and foremost command that God has given to all of us here. And if you forget everything else from these meetings, I'd like for us to consider these verses. Consider these verses carefully, not only in light of the subject here this afternoon, but also the whole weekend. These verses I like for us to allow God to impress upon our hearts. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start reading in verse 34, where it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thine mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I'd like to just say that the subject that we're going to look at this afternoon, the effects are directly militating against our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many people that are losing out in their love for God because of this subject that we're going to look at this afternoon. And if we forget everything else, if I could bring our whole attention to the necessity to be sold out to Jesus Christ. I remember back when I was 15 years of age, when the Lord came and He touched me and He drew me to Himself. And I remember being on my knees with my mom and my dad and confessing all my sins. And I remember that night committing myself and telling the Lord, "Lord, I'm willing to follow You. I'm making a decision to serve You all the days of my life, whatever it costs. I'm willing to do that." And if I would have known some of the things that I'm going to face in this journey, it might have been difficult for me to say that. But at the heart of all of Christianity and all the things that God wants us to do, I like to bring our attention to this fact of God is looking for all of us to be dedicated to Him with all of our hearts and willing to obey His word and to surrender our will to Him. That's what God is looking for. And anything less than that, we will start down a slippery slope. And who knows where it's going to stop. Let me just read this again. Jesus said unto him, this is Jesus' reply, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I'm going to say, on these two commandments is where the greatest violations are in this whole issue of digital technology today. On these two commandments. And I think we don't take it serious enough. Also turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read verse 10. And the verse that we're going to read here is a warning about the love of money. And I'd like to suggest that this whole issue of technology that we are facing in our day is very similar to this issue of money. It's almost impossible to do without, and yet the dangers of it is unsurpassed by most of the things we use in our day-to-day life. Let's look at what he says about money. I like to suggest that it's in a very similar manner. In verse 10 it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I like to suggest that there's many who, for various reasons, have gotten into various forms of technology. maybe innocently, maybe unknowingly, and they have erred from the faith, and they have come to a very difficult place in their life where they're no longer faithful to God Almighty. There's something about digital technology. There's a force within it. And if I could just say it this way, there's a force within digital technology that is bent on taking us away from God. I'd like to tell you a little story. As we speak, my father, which is 72 years of age, he's in the hospital just about 7 minutes from here. He's in a hospital. He's not doing very great. Here, some years ago, he has a herd of sheep. He's had them for quite a number of years, and some years ago, he had a buck in there, and that male, that ram, that buck, he was an angry ram. And he didn't trust him very far. And one day he was out putting hay out to the sheep, and this ram came and got him and rolled him over the bale, and he got away. And needless to say, he got rid of it. And since that, as my father has continued to work with the sheep, he has watched those bucks, those rams, very carefully. You know, he's not a young man like he used to be. So he's continued to watch them very closely. And this past Tuesday, he was out. There was an issue with the fence. And he was out, and there's some fence that needed to be fixed. And as he was there fixing that fence, or he was trying to decide which side of the fence he's going to be. Because on the one side, he had a Jersey steer who was raised, and he was a very tame steer growing up. And yet he's at the age where, Dad, you know, he told me, he said, I don't quite trust him very far. And it's a Jersey, and you know how Jerseys are. You know, you just don't trust him very far. And on the other side of the fence, he had this herd of sheep. And in this herd of sheep, he has a male ram. And he's had him for a number of years, and he's never caused one stitch of trouble. Never caused one stitch of trouble. But over the years, he's kept eyeing him. You know, my dad would watch him. You know, walking out, he'd keep his eyes on him. He'd never do anything, but he'd always keep his eyes on him. He was nice. He was tame. Nothing wrong, but he didn't trust him. He kept his eyes on him. But this past Tuesday, late afternoon, he was out there and he knelt down by the fence, fixing the fence. And without any warning, he came. And the first thing my dad knew was flying. And he got him right in his back. They rushed him to the ER, and he has 5 broken ribs, and he has a punctured lung. Well, they kept my dad in the hospital, and after a couple days, his lung collapsed, and they had to take a knife through his ribs, and they had to put a tube in through his ribs and right into his lung. Let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of men and women who have had that very same attack unawares. They have gotten themselves into a place where all of a sudden they wake up to find out that there are things that they have gotten themselves into that they had no idea could happen, and it's derailed their life. So we want to just look at the subject this afternoon the effect of technology on the family. The effect of technology on the family. Technology in itself is not a bad thing. If I use the word technology, you know, it hasn't been that many years that, you know, things have progressed from hand tools out in the garden and hand tools out in the fields, and it's the advancement of technology that has brought some of those implements and put them on a tractor, and there's all types of increases in advancement in technology that has been, we look at and say it's very good. We look at many things that are helpful and that we view that have been a help in our regular walk. Sometimes we ask the question, you know, we have all these time-saving gadgets and implements and all that, and sometimes we ask ourselves the question, how much time has it really saved us? But we do look at those things and we realize that there's, in and itself, technology, there's nothing wrong with technology in itself, in many of those things. If you go back into history, when the printing press came out and there was a mass production of books, there was people who looked at the mass production of books and they viewed those things and they realized that all the things that man is going to read is going to change the way man thinks and man functions. There's actually articles written in a negative manner about all the books that are being printed today. And yet here we sit today and we have all these books at our disposal. We read, we have knowledge and understanding, and we have an appreciation for many of those things. In the day when some of those things were happening, there was men that looked at those things. Nominal men, not, you know, secular men, not Christians, but secular men that looked at some of those inventions with skepticisms. When the newspaper came out, when public schools came on the scene, there was a question about the level of education that boys and girls, men and women are going to have. What is it going to produce? There's a lot of questions about those things. You know, the advancement of transportation. You know, it wasn't that many years ago. Travel was basically the speed of a horse. And then there was trains and the steam engines and all those kind of things. And actually back in the day, there's articles written, you know, if the steam engine raises the speed of travel and trains roar down the railroad at 30, 40 miles an hour, you know, the effect that it's going to have on man. Articles written on all those things. Today we look at that and we say, you know, we realize that some of those things were unfounded. You know, you look at the airplanes and they take off and we fly from one end of the world to the other in a matter of a couple hours. It's phenomenal. And there's a lot of change comes, and it seems like as change comes, there's some people who are very much appreciative of the change that comes in the new technology, and there's others that raise a lot of questions. There was, you know, when the telephone came onto the scene, cable telephones, there's a lot of concern about the amount of communication that there's going to be between women and men, and you know how's all this going to work itself out, and today that's long past. You know, we have, you know, cell phones in our pockets, and you know, and we don't think of the necessity to even be concerned or to have a lot of concern about lifting a cell or a phone to our ear and talking to someone in another state. You know, there was concern back in the day when they moved from the old knitting machines to a more automated system of making cloth. There's lots of concerns in nominal society today about those changes. Then the internet came along, and email, and the cell phone, all of those things. There's continued change. And we look at those changes, and for many of those things, we're appreciative of it. But I'd like to come back to this whole idea. There's something about the digital technology that we have access to today. It can be used in a right way. And over here, it's destroyed millions and millions of lives. I think you're with me on that. I think you're with me on that. And so this afternoon, my goal in sharing what I am is not to just tell you exactly where to draw those lines. I feel it's very of high importance that we have a clear understanding of what it's doing for us and our families and our churches and some of the changes that it's bringing in our, not only society, but in our churches and in our homes today. Some of the change that it's bringing. Because if we don't realize the change that it's bringing, then we can't with purpose give direction in the areas of need. And we'll end up like my father is laying over here in the hospital. He could very easily be there for a number of weeks. We don't know how long it's going to be. Let me just tell you, there is thousands and millions of people who have lost their way in following God because of the subject we're going to talk about today. Here's some of the headings that, as we look at, at the subject, here's some of the headings we'd like to cover. And I'm going to try to move through here quite rapidly, okay? But here's some of the headings. Cell phone use has changed. Here's another one. Technology, a servant or a force that dominates. And I have 12 of these, by the way. number three, social media and relationships. Number four, the electronic page. Number five, technology and games. Number six, entertainment, changing our views and values. Number seven, electronic reality stimulation. And number eight, the distraction drama. Number nine, the hidden threat to homes and churches. Number 10, the shocking truth about our Anabaptist churches. Number 11, shocking statements from church leaders. Number 12, are we as families and churches at a solid place? Good question, right? Are we at a solid place in our homes and in our churches? The cell phone use has changed. The cell phone use has changed. I remember when I got my first cell phone. I believe it was either 2000 or 2001. I got my first cell phone, and with that first cell phone I had, it was for one purpose. It was to make phone calls. The only reason I used it, to make phone calls. And since 2000, you know, today we're at 2019. So we're at 19 years later We're at a place where our cell phone usage has changed to many other uses. This cell phone has changed from the original use of making phone calls to many, many other uses. Many, many other uses. Here are some. It's used to send emails. It's used to read books. It's used to look at news. It's used to surf the internet. It's used to listen to the radio. And I'm using this as a broad statement. It's used to listen to the radio. It's used to send text messages. It's used to take pictures and to send pictures all over the place. It's used to watch movies. It's used to pay bills. It's used to watch television. It's used as a GPS navigation system. All these uses have been put into this little device at our fingertips. The uses have changed. And as the uses have changed, there's many of us have not followed the potential that it has for us to land us in the same place that my Father is. You know, and I'm just going to say that some of it has to do with there's a younger generation that's much more apt with digital technology than what us older ones are. Now, I consider myself fairly apt at running computers and, you know, lots of stuff. You know, I can sort of help myself, okay? But if I run into a problem, guess who I call? My son. And my son has the answers. Now, let me just stop right there. Isn't that something that sort of turned around from how it should be? Right? Why is that? Well, because it's our sons, the younger generation, they figure things out. They're more apt at figuring things out. The older we get, the slower we are to adapt to change. Younger ones are much more apt at figuring things out. And I like to just suggest that right there is something we need to be aware of. There's a flip. Now, while it's okay for me to call my son, right? I'm just going to suggest that there's something about that that's backwards. And we as fathers do well in taking our responsibility in that area. If we don't know how to do it, we find out what's happening, right? We find out what's really going on. Even if we don't know what all's happening, we need to find out what's happening. And not just these devices be loose to whatever happens. Cell phone use has changed. For many years, for many, many years, it was easy for a church to say, no television, right? It was easy for a church to just take a clear position, no television. No radio. Right? But there's something that has happened with the devices, with the technology that's out today, that's totally turning that whole thing upside down. For us to function in our daily lives, there's so much of those things that are of necessity to use that it's opened the door. And I talked to church leaders who had a very clear position, no radio, no television for many years, and no cell phone. No problem. Today, that simple, no radio, no television, no cell phone, all of a sudden, there is a change that has come, and those things, a small cell phone is under the bed, It's in the closet. It's, do you follow what I'm saying? The use of digital technology has changed to the extent that just a simple no on a big flat level, it's more difficult than that. You get the picture? We'll come back to some of those things. Technology, a servant or a force that dominates. And this is a big one. I'd like for us to consider that there's something about the technology, and I'm not just talking about cell phones. I'm talking about internet. I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about all these things. There's something about digital technology that is a force that moves itself upon us very strongly. Y'all acknowledge that, right? There's something about it. It moves itself on us very strongly. And if I could maybe just go this way. There's a force that's pushing itself upon us. And right here, we are. Okay? It's pushing itself on us. And there's many people who haven't taken this whole subject very seriously, but as it comes, they ride the waves. They just go with it. And they end up over here in Millersburg Hospital in a bad situation. It caught them unawares, and they don't know what even happened. It got them. Technology, a servant or a force? Now, I'd like to suggest that everyone in here, I have the confidence that everyone in here, if I would ask for a raise of hands of all of those who are endeavoring to use technology as their servant, I think most of us would raise our hands and say, that's me. Right? We'd raise our hands and say, the technology that I have, I'm endeavoring to use it as my servant. I'd like to suggest that for many, and I'm not going to put a percentage to it, but for many, it has become a dominant force that's pushing them in the wrong direction. If we're very honest, if we're very, very honest, you know how it is. Some of this technology is so strong in its force of bringing habits upon us, changing the way we do things. There's so many things. It's a dominant force that's pushing us. And I'd like to just raise a question this afternoon. Is the technology that you're using, are you using it as a servant for you, or are you its servant? Which is it? It's either one or the other. And for many, they're allowing it to dominate them. They're allowing it to move you. You're allowing it to move the way you function as a family. It's affecting your sons and your daughters, and it's moving you because of the force. The things that you never thought you'd tolerate, you're tolerating today. Technology, a servant or a force that dominates. We desire our technology to be subservient to us and to our desires. But how is it really? It has to become our servant if we're going to use it. And if it can't become our servant, let me just simply say it this way. It has to go. Right? If the technology that we use cannot become, if you can't make it your servant, then I'm going to say it has to go. It has to go. Because all of these things come back to our walk with God, our love for God, our love for our fellow man, and it affects us. It has to become our servant. And if it's not our servant, then it has to go. If you find yourself at a place where it's, you know, it just always controls you, I'm going to say there's time for some change. There's time for some change. Here's another heading. Social media and relationships. Social media and relationships. God has made all of us to enjoy relationships. Relationships as husbands and wives, relationships as families, relationships in our church, church relationships. And God has made that God has made us to be connecting face to face. Am I right with that? God has made us in our interactions that to have a true relationship, to have a true relationship, it needs to be face to face. That doesn't say it can't be done other ways, but to have a true relationship that builds character and that fulfills the needs within us and to function the way God designed it, we need to have face-to-face communication. What some of the things that have happened with all the digital technology and the social media, there's many people who have friends over a broad spectrum. And throughout the day, there's this communication back and forth. And there's a level of communication with so many people on a continuing basis that it's creating a level of fulfillment, but then loneliness. Do we know lonely people today? Do we know lonely people? Right? I'm going to suggest that a lot of the loneliness that we have today has to do with the level of communication, superficial communication that we have without being face to face. Doesn't make the other wrong. But let me tell you, if it's used to replace this, there's something that happens that never brings a fulfillment, and it doesn't do what God has really intended for us to have, do and be. Human beings aren't capable of simultaneously maintaining strong relationships with a large number of people. We're not made that way. We're not made to have relationships with 50 people on a close level. How many did Jesus have? 12. And how many of those were his close friends? 3. And he had close fellowship with them. I'd like to suggest we need to keep those things in our minds. Our children, ourselves, the level of communication that's put out there and that we have with friends all over the place, it superficially communicates without having the real communication that God intended for us to have. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Aren't we violating our neighbors if we're extreme in some of the things we do in communicating with others. God has given us desires for relationships, and they're often satisfied in the wrong places. Face-to-face sharing and conversation brings fulfillment. But falsely satisfying your inner need for a healthy dialogue and relationship with a false sense of intimacy and temporary quench the desire for face-to-face interaction and negatively affects our ability to maintain real relationships. Do you know that there's many people who have relationships versus via text? And when they come into communication with people, they almost can't open their hearts. You know what I mean? We do well to take note. Lonely people. Reports say that people spending more than 2 hours per day on social media are twice as likely to feel lonely than a person that spends half an hour per day. Many people are overwhelmed these days. Many people are overwhelmed, right? There's many that are overwhelmed these days because they're drunken with information and relationships. Many of us feel we can barely keep our head above the water because we have all these relationships to maintain via text, via social media, via various places, rather than having good, solid relationships, and then we feel overwhelmed. Another thing that it does in this whole area of social media and relationships, another thing that it does is all these things float around about all the fun things that people do. All the fun things that people do. Social media platforms show us all the fun things our friends are doing, and we are missing out, and it leads people to discontentment and envy. Now, let me read that again. Social media platforms show us the fun things our friends are doing, but it doesn't show them all the other times when they're not at the height of having their fun times. Social media platforms show us all the fun things our friends are doing, and we are missing out, leading us to discontentment and envy. And many of those people don't have a close walk with God, and they portray themselves as having such wonderful relationships with God, and we look on and say, if they can have such a wonderful relationship with God and they can be doing all those kind of things, why can't I? Here's another thing. The electronic page. I'd be tempted to ask for a raise of hands, but I don't think I will. Okay? But the electronic page. Using electronics to read. I'd be curious how many, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here, but I would be curious how many people here today regularly read their Bibles. Now, I'm not just talking about looking things up. I'm talking about their main Bible reading is on some kind of a digital platform, either a computer or a device of some kind. I'm curious. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but let me read you some statistics. Research has consistently showed that we retain less information when using an electronic page. Did you know that? Let me read it again. I'm going to read it again. Research has consistently showed that we retain less information when using an electronic page versus opening the Bible or a book, a hard copy book. Why is that? Good question. Well, here are some of the things behind it. I'll just throw out a couple. First of all, when we take a hard copy book and we read, we are less distracted. Okay? Do you get that? Okay, now let me just come back, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but who would like to retain all the Bible that you know that you can possibly retain? Everyone's hands would go up, right? Okay? Quit doing it on your digital device. Right? And say, well, okay. All right. Here are some of the reasons. We are more easily disrupted, thus weakening our comprehension. Now, here's some more things. The presence of hypertext. You know what hypertext is? You know, it's those little links, and you read through, and all of a sudden there's a link, and you click on it, and it takes you somewhere else, and you read about this. You know, the presence of hypertext disrupts our ability to really focus. We get distracted. A shift from paper to screen also influences the degree of attention we devote to it and the depth of our immersion into it. Let me just tell you this, young men, young sisters. I have never regretted the decision that I made years ago. You know, this Bible, it's almost 30 years old. And I've had it rebound a couple times. And this Bible has had all these years of underlining and underlining and underlining and making notes and all these kind of things. And let me tell you, many, many are the times when I'm studying for a sermon or when I sit down to have devotions with my family and I open the Bible and I'm looking for something, and where do you think I go? All the underlined verses and all the thoughts come back that I had when I underlined those scriptures. Let me tell you, young men and young women, you're missing out. You're missing out if you don't make your regular Bible reading with a hard copy Bible. See, I have this app on my phone and look stuff up and I read stuff, you know. I do that. I think, you know, many do. But let me tell you something. There's something about retention and our ability to retain the Bible in a hard copy versus digital. The more life that's in the medium, whether it's a smart device or Kindle, etc., the less our brain feels the need to be involved, and thus we don't retain it in our memory. Here's another one, technology and games. Technology and games. Computer games, digital computer games, have a very high level of attraction. And see, we you know, for us, we wiped all those things off our computers and everything. But we have certain things that are educational, like typing or things that that are building and drawing, certain drawing projects and things that we occasionally allow our children to do. But I'm just totally amazed. There is an attraction to digital gaming that's unfathomable. And what it does to children, it drops their attention span, that they're totally dissatisfied and they're bored with anything less than that.
They're dissatisfied and they're bored with anything less than that. It creates a hype and an excitement that just regular pushing a little tractor or playing with a little toy out in the yard doesn't satisfy anymore. They become bored with normal life. They're less social. They have less initiative. And it lessens the children's attention span. Here's another heading. Entertainment. Changing our views and values. Entertainment. Changing our views and values. I think most of us here know of some people who at one time they were at a fairly consistent level, or a fairly, I'm not sure how to describe it, but not at a bad level of their level of spirituality and their level of walk with the Lord. But you saw this progression. And you talk with them a couple of years later, and their views and their values have drastically changed. Why is that? Why is that? Entertainment. Entertainment, changing our views and our values. Now, what I'd like to do is talk about in both marketing as well as producing movies, and I'm blessed, you know. I'm blessed, you know. Most of us have said no to these things, okay. But I like for us to just consider some of these things. What happens when there's production movies and videos? There are things that they have discovered in their production as they're putting things together that creates things that make the people want more. They've done that. They've figured it out to a science. You know, they don't, you know, when you go to make a movie, they don't just do some, you know, whatever they, you know, they take all the education and try to, they figure everything out, and they bring this whole thing to a place where it attracts the person. Now, let me just talk about four different things that happen in this whole idea of entertainment, marketing, entertainment, movies, in that whole production. There are four ways that are considered as they produce these movies and the entertainment. There's four things that they look at. One is, there's four ways our experience with media and views and our values change. There's four ways that it happens. One is through what's called the attentional state. So, an exposure, you may be clicking through a website or analyzing an advertisement, and you're fully aware of what you see. That's what they call an attentional state. So in your state of mind, you're fully aware of what you're seeing, and it might be some bad thing or whatever, but you're fully aware of what you're seeing. As you're fully aware, you know, they can have all kinds of things in there, but there's four ways that they that will affect you. The attentional state, where you're receiving the information fully aware. Here's another one. The automatic state. You're receiving information, but not conscious it's occurring. You may be reading a book and have the music gone, but you are not keenly aware about the music, but it is being recorded in your mind. Later, you might start singing the song. Right? Okay, now that in itself, that's harmless. But they do that. When they make productions in various ways, they do things and then they'll do, they'll have your attention over here, but then something is running on the side that you're not aware of. You know, if you listen, it's there, but it's not, but you don't have the full attention. And it's being recorded in your mind. They call that the automatic state. Then there's what's called the transported state, where you are totally caught up in the message so that you lose track of time and place. Now, that is where they try to get you to. Right? That is where they try to bring you to a place to where you see what's happening. You become a part of the whole situation. If the people get excited, you get excited, and it affects your whole body as you're listening, understanding. You know, you're totally captivated by it. That's the place. As people come to that place, there's a strong shift that happens in their views and values. Now, it can happen in any of these other ones, but if you get to this one, they've got you. And without even trying, they've got you. And then the self-relaxive state. Were you aware of a message and you're processing it? This might be done in a poorly done TV advertisement. You are aware of what you're trying to do, of what they are trying to do, and you're not affected by it. Okay, but they, in all of these things, they, as you listen, entertainment, these many things, if you become a part of the whole entertainment realm, let me just tell you, you're in music, movies, entertainment, in that whole entertainment realm. Your views and your values will change as you listen to it. They will change. You might think that I'm just going to listen to it and I won't change. But let me tell you, they will change. They will change. I need to move forward very rapidly here. The electronic reality stimulation. They, when entertainment, music, movies are created, there are things that they purposefully put together and encapsulate to grab your attention. How many of you remember what happened or what you were doing when 911 happened and the Twin Power Towers fell? Yeah. You remember exactly what happened. The reason that you remember that is because it was so dramatic and so different from the norm that it grabbed you. In entertainment, the creators of all that create situations and dynamics that are abnormal to the place where it grabs you and you can't let go of it. And they put all that together, and that whole dynamic is what draws you into the whole entertainment world. It draws you in because it's so abnormal. Then when you're drawn in, then your views and your values change. That's also why people that spend a lot of time on their phone and you're looking at lots of stuff and they lay it down, all of a sudden I'm bored, because it creates a state of being that's far enough out of normal life that when I come back to normal life is boring. There's a stimulation that becomes a part of that. A lot more things we could talk about there, but I'll leave it. Let's just think a little bit about the distraction that happens with our digital devices. Let's come back to the idea, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as myself. What happens when we're sitting having family devotions and here comes a text? And there rings the phone. What happens? And what are you doing with those distractions? Now, what happens when you're having personal quiet time with God Almighty? And here comes a text. Here comes a phone call. What happens? What happens when you're all sitting together as a family having family time? And here a phone beeps. Or, you know, okay, we could go on and on, right? What happens, okay, when we stand talking with a brother and all of a sudden there's a text? Yeah, sure. Okay, let me ask you a question. Are we serving God? Or are we serving all this digital technology? Right? Who are we serving? Are we a servant to it? And it's come to the place where if I make a phone call to my friend and he doesn't answer the phone, I sort of get irritated at him. Why doesn't he just answer the phone? Right? Distraction. The hidden threat to homes and the church. I'm going to suggest on this whole subject of digital technology that it's diminishing our need for our family, it's diminishing our need for our spouse, it's diminishing our need for our family, it's diminishing our need for the brotherhood. Do you follow that? It's diminishing our need. It dampens our need and desire for God. I'm going to suggest that the level of digital technology that many people are on is diminishing their felt need for God Almighty. It's diminishing it. I'm going to suggest that it's a horrible time waster. Now, I know in this crowd right here, we never do that. In this crowd right here, we never waste time on technology. Right? Because it's our servant, right? And this crowd, we never do that. Let me just say it's a threat to our homes and the church. And I'm not even talking about the pornography and all that trash. I'm just talking about just how it's affecting us. I believe it's a hidden threat to our walk with God. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm going to say this whole thing is diminishing our need for our family and the brotherhood. It's dampening our need and desire for God, and it's a horrible time waster. Here's the next heading. I have to stop very soon here. The shocking truth about our Anabaptist churches. I was reading in the book about a brother who he went around over a broad spectrum of Anabaptist churches. And he did interviews. He talked to the leaders, and he talked to the fathers, and he talked to the youth. And this is in our broader Anabaptist circles. And this is what he said. He said there is a shocking amount of questionable and immoral content. Okay? First, it's questionable. And I'm looking at this crowd here this afternoon. He said it's shocking the amount of questionable. First, it starts with questionable. Not the bad stuff. But it's shocking the level, the amount of questionable content that people are viewing. He goes on to say, and immoral content. Short, funny, immoral video clips, movies, pornography that is being consumed by baptized church members. Across a broader scope of Anabaptist community. And there used to be sort of a clear statement, no television, no radios. We were sort of sheltered, right? Let me just tell you something. That is shocking. I'm not talking about the immoral. Okay, we can go to the immoral side. But I'm just, you know, right now I'm just talking about the questionable stuff. The questionable stuff that's looked at. Maybe not even on the internet, but that's passed around. Are you one of those? I'd just like to ask a question. Are you one of those? I just want to read it again. There's a shocking amount of questionable and immoral content. Short, funny, immoral video clips, movies, pornography that is being consumed by baptized church members. Are you one of those? Oh, here's another one. Shocking statements from church leaders. This is in that same brother who did some of these interviews. And there's a whole lot of questions that he asked and put out there. Lots of questions. And this is from church leaders in asking where they feel they are on this whole subject of digital technology and how it's affecting them. And this comes from very, you know, old order Amish that have very clear, solid lines, no phone, no internet, no, you know, all those kind of things, to the most loose that are, you know, people that who have no guidelines whatsoever. The whole broad spectrum. It's not just, you know, it's not just the ones that don't have clear guidelines. It's all the way from one end to the other. One of the questions that is posed, how do you feel you're coping with this whole idea of digital technology? they said, it's just not working. It's just not working. All the way to the strictest people who have had strong positions for many years, and now their church members are at a place where they have various forms of technology in their businesses and their homes and all. You know, it was easy to say no to television and no to movies and those things years ago. But today, with the technology, they say it's just not working the way we're handling it. In looking at the future, in future progression, see, it's not just going to stay with where it is today. It's not just going to stay there. You know, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. They ask, what about the future? They said, we are not prepared to handle the future. Those are shocking statements from church leaders. So a question I ask, if that's where church leaders are at, I raise the question, where is the church going to be in 30 years from now? Good question, right? Where's the church going to be? Where's the faithful people going to be? Where are those that are walking with God in a holy, godly fear, whose passions are just turned after God? Where are they going to be? They were also asked, or here's another thing that was brought back from the church leaders. They asked a question, why is it so hard to back away from things that are a detriment to us? Now, did you get that? Why is it so hard to back away from things that are a detriment to us and our spiritual walk with God? Why is it so hard? I mean, come on, brothers. I mean, don't we want holiness and godliness, just whatever it takes? Whatever it takes, let's do it, right? Why is it hard to back away from something that's going to be a detriment to us? Those are shocking things from church leaders. Now, I'd like to just end here with a couple questions. And the heading here I have, are we as families and churches at a solid place? And I'm going to address it to the dads first of all. Dads, is your family at a place with technology where you as a dad are comfortable with the spiritual impact that it's having? Is the direction and effect sustainable for the next generation? That's a good question for us, right, dads? Now, let me just read that again. Dads, dads, is your family at a place with technology where you as a dad are comfortable with the spiritual impact it's having? Is the direction and effect sustainable for the next generation? Now here I have the same question directed to us as church leaders. Church leaders, is your church at a place with technology where you as a leader are comfortable with the spiritual impact that it's having on your people? Is the direction and effect sustainable for the next generation? Is it? And I have one more question. I have one more question that I'd like to leave with us all. And if it's not, what are you going to do about it? If it's not, what are you going to do about it? Think of my father laying over here in the hospital. For a number of years, he had been watching this thing closely because he knew the potential that it had. He knew the ability that that buck could have to hurt him. He knew there was a pretty high potential there. And he let down his guard one time, and it happened. Let me just suggest that that is the level of the spiritual threat that we face. And I know for many of us, we talk about these things in our congregations and we're proactive. But let's bring us back. Are you brothers and sisters at a place where you have chosen as an individual to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, all your strength, and you are doing whatever it takes to maintain that? And if you need to get rid of stuff in order to do that, you're willing to do that because you have chosen to follow God. If you're not at a place where you know you should be, what are you going to do about it?